Hey guys, this is Joanne Ray with Senior Marketing Specialist, and this is A Human Connection. I have been extraordinarily blessed over my career to meet some really fascinating and successful people, and I get to now bring those conversations to you. So I hope that we can all learn and grow from each other. I hope you enjoy. I could not be more honored today to introduce you to our guest today, who wears many, many hats. Today, we are introducing her as the Chief Marketing Officer of Integrity Marketing Group and President of Thomas Arts. This is my friend, Anne Wood. So, hello, Anne.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I think in Hollywood, they call this the big get, right? The guest that like everybody wants to get and it's hard to get a hold of and they've got handlers all around them. So we got you.
I am honored to be here. I think this is amazing what you're doing, and I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to dig deep. We're going to peel back all the layers. We're going to talk a little bit of business, but I'm mostly, again, the purpose for this is literally what the name says, which is just the human connection. And it's not a business 101 class. I hope that throughout these conversations, people pick up little nuggets of information and expertise and wisdom that you're going to be able to share here today. But we're just going to have a conversation and have fun. And I think the first thing people always want to know whenever I'm listening to anybody is a little bit of your bio. Tell us a little bit about what your current role is at Integrity and Thomas Arts and kind of your road to get there. So we'd love to hear that.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Yes, it has been very exciting, and I'm grateful to be able to serve in the additional roles. So I'll step back a little bit because it's actually pretty interesting how it all got connected. So I've been at Thomas Arts for, this will be 19 years.
Wow.
So right out of school, I was in the PR world, and I was kind of a junior press secretary for a congressman. And when I was doing that, Dave Thomas, who is the CEO of Thomas Arts, was running for Congress as well. And I was on the campaign against him.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yes, it's actually a great story because he ran as an opposing party in a pretty red state. And so you can see which sides we were on. And he lost. And so then when he met me, he's like, "You're the reason I lost." I was like, no. I was very junior at the time. I was right out of college. But that is how we met. And so he hired me on as his first employee. He had started the agency with his three sons. And he hired me to be the adult in the room. They had been in business 6 months. They had never billed a client. They hadn't sent like a conference report or a strategic brief. And so he's like, "Can you build out our company?" And again, I had only been out of school probably less than a year. And that was the beginning.
It's a pretty good story
because it's pretty funny because I'll say the reason you lost is the reason that Thomas Arts started, which is it all was meant to be.
So in the end, he wins after all. Everybody wins.
Everybody won. And then eventually we joined Integrity. I'll tell that part. So 19 years of doing everything here. We were a startup. So most of my bent has been on the client service side. So making sure clients know that we're here to provide services to grow their business. Most of those clients on the commercial side are national carriers that everyone knows, regional big player carriers. Mm-hmm. We were always in the healthcare and financial service space. And we are the ones who do the advertising for all these big carriers nationally. So if you see big ads for any of the brand names we all know, they're done here. And so when you said like all the handlers, I'm like, oh, they're the team that builds all these ads. We do have a really awesome team. And we're a traditional ad agency, as anyone would expect. So then fast forward 17 years, we've known all of you from the big players' perspective, the industry icons. Your guys' names predate you for sure. And we met Integrity and Brian through Steve Young, a connection to Steve Young. We're based here in Salt Lake, and Steve Young has Salt Lake ties. That's how we met that. And this is actually a great story too. So we we go to meet in Dallas, as we all do, and we started a conversation around the future of Thomas Arts and that we're a specialty boutique firm. We've always been, we're the leaders in Medicare and healthcare in general, and that we can acronym game all day long, DSNP, LIS, we can play that game all day long. So we met for the whole day and the night, and our proposal never even got opened. Like the fact that we were interested in being a part of something bigger, they call them a SIM, it never got opened, and no one ever looked at like the meat of the financials or any of that, which is pretty funny. Like in a partnership acquisition world, like that's usually something
that's you look kind at. Of important.
Yeah, they knew high level. So, yeah. but there was, that wasn't the focus. And it was an immediate connection. It was one of those things of, whoa, if we could take the firepower or the called the gasoline from an ad agency and pour it on the fire that's already burning at Integrity. And can you imagine how big that fire would get? And that was the hypothesis. And that was it.
And here we are. The fire is that fast. Big.
Yes. And I think people weren't expecting, I mean, I remember when we announced in the industry, it was kind of like, wait a second, like why would Integrity buy an ad agency? Right. Well, when you find out that they know the 50 plus audience and this is what we do, or the ad agency for all these, you know, big names, it makes sense. Cause then we could then tell your guys' stories. Yeah. So it's been, and then the ride's been amazing. Meeting people like you and all the living legends has been huge.
Well, that's a great story. I always love to hear where everybody comes together and how all the pieces kind of start falling into place. It looks so obvious now looking back, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. Like this was all in the plans. This is strategic. This, of course. And to find out that it wasn't, that it was a meeting by happenstance, and I love those stories. I have one little personal story that I haven't told anybody. So it's just you and I, Ian, talking here. So I am telling anybody this story. So go all the way back in the time machine of Joanne's high school, college years. And I always knew that I wanted to be in business. I always knew I wanted to work in an office and be in business in some way. Mm-hmm. And when I had this vision, I'm a very visionary type person. When I had this image, it was always this big, beautiful, like 40-story office building with all glass on the outside. And you have to remember, I came from a small town where like the three-story hotel was like the biggest building in town, right? So this vision that I had of this beautiful 40-story office building, all glass on the outside. And I always visioned, for some reason, what that meant was sitting in a big, beautiful boardroom with conference table and the windows and all the stuff. Fast forward to the very first day that I met you, all these years later. So it was like March 10th or 12th, somewhere there. It was right before the world kind of got a little wonky. So I think it was like March 10th or 12th of 2020. We fly to Dallas to officially shake hands with Brian and ink the deal. And I'd known Brian, you know, 20 years. I've been all over the country with him, but I'd never been to that office, the Integrity office. So we pull up and here's this beautiful 40-story office building, all glass on the outside. We walk in and the receptionist, the very first place she takes us is this beautiful boardroom with windows overlooking the Dallas skyline. And then in the very first two people to walk in were you and Brian. And I was like, this is what it's supposed to look like, right? This is what this dream that I manifested so many years ago when I was in high school and college, this is the image of you two walking into this beautiful boardroom in this beautiful building. And so anyway, I've never told anybody that, but
That's amazing. Like the building is all glass on the outside. Yep. The boardroom's gorgeous.
Yep. And I don't even know why that was always just in my mind that's what success in business looked like. And then you and Brian walked in and it's like, you know, models for success in business walking into this boardroom with us. And I was like, okay, I think I'm home. I think this again was destined to be.
When you said people take tidbits, that's about setting a vision and then how many years until it comes to fruition. Yeah. But that's what always was on your mental vision board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I'm glad to be a part of that.
You most definitely are, Ian. You most definitely are. So we're going to nerd out for a little bit here. We're going to peel back some of the layers. But what I want to know first and foremost is let's talk about scheduling and systems. And you have to have like one of the most ridiculously busy travel schedules, meeting schedules here, two different cities, basically. I want to know, what system do you use? How many people does it take? Tell me about, because I'm such a nerd for calendars and systems and processes and keeping myself on track. And, you know, we all live and die by this, whatever's in front of us, you know, whatever pops up, it tells us to go do next. So what is your system and how do you manage all of these different schedules?
So funny that you would say geek out. I geek out. That is our world. Yeah. So this is how I would describe the system is, healthy OCD. Is that a funny way to say that? I really believe that is, if the more organized you are, the more you can accomplish. And they always ask, there's a quote out there that, you know, if you want something to be done, ask the busiest person, you know, they're the ones that are structured. And so I would just overarching say, and you're like this too, very, very structured, very specific about every minute that's used. And then I know people don't believe in multitasking because that means you can't focus, but I probably have 40 projects going on at once. And there's a prioritization and there's a hierarchy. So every day there's a formal list. I use like Evernote and all those apps you can imagine that say, okay, these are the 10 projects that have to get done today. If we leave the office and these are not done, then we haven't accomplished the day, but they're tiered. So there's like, I do a triple star, double star, single star approach. And then it's very nerd out. So to your point, it's very focused. And actually a lot of people at our office do the same thing now. Like we all have the same rankings. We got to get these done today together. And then we'll go from there. If we can get to the double stars or single starred, we won. Today was a very efficient day, but every meeting is scheduled. You are correct. There's 3 executive assistants here. I have 3 nannies at home. It's like a machine. And frankly, without that support system and machine, there's no way any of us can accomplish what we're trying to do, because you can't be everywhere and you can't do everything. I mean, even trying to get to be able to be together today took us some willpower. So yeah, it is the system to get there.
That's okay. So what determines 1-star, 2-star, 3-star? Is that your?
So we do a weekly stand up on Monday mornings. So we do a Brian executive team meeting on Monday mornings that set the priority for the whole company. And then 1 hour later do my leadership team. And I actually have 2 leadership teams. So I do the integrity one and we say, okay, here's all the things we're going to accomplish. And that's my main job, is that role. And then I will schedule Thomas Arts ones to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do on the commercial side. But we've got an incredible leadership team. And in fact, in the second we joined Integrity, Brian said, okay, you've got objectives on the Integrity side. Let's go. So I divided the leadership team, half run TA and half came with me for the overall platform objective. So
I would think you would have to. That's way too many people dipping, you know, double dipping and trying to coordinate. Yeah, no, that's probably a very good idea.
And we have a lot of formal systems here, serving a lot of clients for a long time, project management systems. We have official, you know, product managers, project manager, like we have all that. And that it really, I feel like it runs like a machine. Everyone knows what they're supposed to do. They know their roles. They know when to bump something up, escalate if there's a question, but it really runs pretty smoothly now.
Yeah. I think those meetings are super important. Communication is like literally the key to everything we're going to talk about today, whether it's home, family, business, meetings, scheduling, whatever. It's all about communication. So meetings is something that we've always struggled with, of just simply putting more meetings on the calendar to meet, or what is our objective of this group getting together and how often do we get together? And, you know, so again, we could talk all day and about just that topic specifically. But I think, again, that's what I want people to learn and take from you, is that you are able to manage so many different moving parts at once. There has to be a great system behind that. Yes, great people, of course, but there has to be a system and a purpose, I guess, to every meeting, every communication, every email.
So a couple other things on the system part that I think you're right, like I've learned over the years matters a lot, is an agenda and a purpose to every meeting, very clear objective. And then as soon as there's always someone taking notes, but at the end, the next steps, because I think sometimes when you leave a meeting, everyone came up with great ideas, but who's responsible and accountable to accomplish them? Right. Very clear next steps. Okay, everyone's getting assigned in our project management system. And then all of a sudden, you're getting followed up on and you agreed to this action item. We're going to try not to, you have to accomplish what you said you would. And actually, our CEO says that about integrity is doing what you say you'll do when you'll do, when you said you do it. And that's the follow through allows you to keep the machine going. But I agree with you. You can have the best people in the world, but if there's not a formal process and system, they're not going to accomplish anything. So teams have daily stand-ups on specific objectives. We have kind of these, we chunk out time and deadlines. So you're exactly right. The systems, that's why I started with healthy OCD. If you saw our office, like everything's exactly where it's supposed to be. And so our team members will come and like move a painting. Like they'll move that to be like, I'm like, no, that's part of the process. Like being organized is in all parts of your life.
That's right. I didn't know if they were moving it just to see if you would notice.
Like they do. They do. They think it's so that's funny. Not nice. And that's, I'm like, no, that's like touching my to-do list. If you touch, no one touches anyone's to-do list.
I love it. So with all the systems and with all the engagements and processes and places you have to be, what do you use, Anwood, just Anwood, no title, to keep yourself going, motivated? Is there a book? Is there a music? Is there a place you go? Is there, you know, is it yoga? Is it meditation? Is it reading? There's got to be some centering ground to for you to, one, feel centered and not just rushed. And then where do you get that next inspiration, your drive? Because you're inspiring so many others. Where do you get your drive?
That's such a good question. What's yours? I want to tell you mine, but what's yours?
I think it's, one, I've always thought a lot about bookends, like how you start your day and how you end your day. That's the only thing we have control over, because once our feet hit the floor, it's kind of out of our, I mean, we have it on the calendar, we have it on the whatever, but everything gets moved and changed and you're serving so many other people. So with me, it's my bookends. It's how I start my day and how I end my day. And that's changed a lot since COVID. It used to be out the door way early in the morning, maybe breakfast, maybe I threw something down or was going to eat it in the car or whatever. And now I'm much more purposeful with my mornings because I know I can be. That's what you know, those 90 days of quarantine taught me is, you know what? I don't have to rush out the door first thing for this thing to keep going. So I'm much more purposeful with my mornings. I read a lot in the morning. I do a lot of my things that I need to put my thinking cap or more my creative cap on, long emails that have been troubling me, not bad way, but just, I need to get this done, but I need that quiet space of five minutes. So I do those in the morning. I try to do stuff that I know means something to somebody, because it seems like all day long, I'm just doing stuff. I don't know that any of it's meaningful. So I try to use that morning and that nighttime, even if it's just 30 minutes, to just, you know, text that one employee that I saw was struggling. Simply to say something about, hope everything's okay. Let me know. You know, just something that has meaning, because then it, somehow all of that comes back. So I try to do the bookend approach.
I love it.
Yeah.
I have a similar one. So mine, I have like a sleep problem. I can't sleep very much. So
I can't imagine. Does your brain ever shut off?
No. So, but I did learn this actually from someone who has kind of that ongoing energy of like how to dial it down. So as my next day starts the night before. So the night before, I do like a summary of, okay, we accomplished all these things. These are the things that mattered a lot. These didn't. And then I actually go through the plan for the next day. Okay, so these are our priorities. Here's what we're going to do. We share them with our leaders, and here's how we're going to keep moving the ball forward, right? Because as long as we're moving it forward, we'll get there. But it is very purposeful. So it might not be as thoughtful as what you're saying from an individual perspective. I really like that. It's more about centering and kind of the fray going away. Like, okay, we did all those other things that it had to get done, but really these are our priorities. So, and I learned it from a mentor of mine that talked about prioritization of, you can say you can multitask all you want. You can be the biggest producer, right? Like production you want, but if you're not doing the most important things. So the prioritization part, because my natural tendency is like, let's check off 100 things today. Let's produce as much as possible. But there's also the side of making sure the most important things get done. And so nights is where I get my energy. I know everyone's always like, you know, I still do early mornings and I still do that, but my actual brain kicks into gear later.
Yeah. Are you like, but night owl, like yes, crazy
complete midnight? Complete night owl and complete morning. So I do like 5 hours of sleep.
Oh, and you go,
it'll catch up to me. I just turned 40 like a year ago. And someone's like, watch out. Like you're not going to be able to keep this up. Like it's actually not healthy. I know we're going to get into spouse support, but that's my whole spouse's support is he's like, fine, I'm going to let you do like your nightly get ready for the next day thing. Cause that's when your brain works. But like at some point you might not be able to keep it up.
Turn that off. Yeah, no, you're right. And I think both of us probably share the fear of not being prepared for something. So that's part of that night before planning my day, looking over the calendar. Do I have what I need? Did I ask the right person to be there? Did I tell everybody, or did I just, you know,
exactly kind
of bulldoze this? So I think that's why it's not because I'm, you know, I have to oversee things. It's because I don't want to walk into anything unprepared. And I certainly don't want to set up my team to walk into something that they don't feel prepared for. So that's again, a whole nother dream sequence that we can talk about. That's every one of my dreams is always about, I walked into something and I wasn't prepared. And it's just that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't like that feeling. I agree. Oh,
it's heart stopping. Yes. I hate that. So,
and you don't want anyone else to feel that either. So like, making sure they know I'm expecting these things. I do think that's a big part of it for sure.
And that's kind of the, my nightly too, is making sure, hey, these people are coming in tomorrow. Did you want to be there? Did you need me to do anything? Did this thing get done? Do they know where they're going to lunch? You know, all the just seems like maybe silly details, but it's about that, you know, that human connection. It's about that feeling of, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad this is going well. We care, you know, all those things. I think preparation kind of adds to.
I agree. And when people come to this office, there's a big welcome. When they come to the Dallas office, there's a big welcome experience, because that experience makes you feel like someone was planning for you to come, and they knew ahead of time how important this was going to be, no matter what the topic is. It could be a partner, it could be a vendor, it could be, you know, a client. And I do think that changes the experience, because it was very prepared. And they feel that. We had some people in our office on Friday, and they said, you know, you should charge for this experience. Like that's how we did like a big tour and a big meet and greet for sure. And it was very, very planned. But it was so funny. I said, well, I'm not sure if that's like the best business model. And they were like, yeah, but we felt the warmth. We felt that you planned for us, and it made us feel that much more excited about the journey we're on together. And I thought, you know, that's what we're going for.
It does. It means something, because we've all walked into some place where we didn't get that. And you immediately, or I immediately go to, did they even care? Did they even, you don't have to throw a party and have balloons, but some type of welcome and acceptance. And we're so glad you're here. We've prepared this for you. So I love that. And I bet there were balloons at the TA welcome reception.
Sometimes in this particular case, it was like more formal, but
I love it.
We do like celebrating a lot. And actually, from a process perspective, one thing I learned from another mentor is at the end of a success. So at the end of that is taking like 2 seconds and saying, congratulations, guys, like celebrate for 1 minute. Because one other thing I've seen is that you jump right onto the next thing, right? Like, oh, I got to go to the next meeting. But for 1 second, great job, everybody. You should be really proud that went really well. Okay, we can move on to the next one, but you need to just breathe for one moment.
That is so true. So true. And I've been on both sides of that before. I've been the one that was like, can't we just stop and celebrate for a second before we go on and on and on? And then now I'm the one that's like, okay.
Let's go. And we have like a Coke machine, like a soda machine here, like you at the movie theater when you can like pick which ones. It's like a big ad agency thing. And so that's our celebration. Like, okay, we all just go and you earn like one moment. We're just going to walk back, just like you take a restroom break, right? But like, we're going to go and purposefully go grab a drink together. And then we walk back to the next one. And I'm like, hey, now we go.
I love it. That's a really fun treat. I like that. Yes. So you already mentioned the hubby and the most important thing on your schedule always is family. I know you have four amazing kids that are going four different directions at all times. We've shared together on other interviews that we've done together of, you know, we have the perfect husbands, but yet it's still not enough. The two of us together is still as a team, not even enough some days. So walk us through one, how do you handle this amazing family of yours going so many different directions and all about the kids?
Oh, I'd love to for sure. It's funny because you're exactly right. We actually, our spouses met each other at an event.
Yeah.
And they were kind of kindred spirits too. They're like, oh, we've got these wives and then you know, these partners. It starts there for sure. I think the human connection, by the way, is like one of his favorite phrases. Cause I think there is that moment of like, okay, put everything away and focus for a minute. And he's really good at that. And I am not. And so he pushes us, but you're exactly right. I was going to say a machine again, but a village there. It's the same thing. Like how the day starts, like you said, how the day ends, everything has to be pretty planned. So I'll use that OCD healthy again. Like I've got a closet of like gifts for every birthday party ahead of time, gifts for every like a month out, all of the like mom friend gifts, work friend gifts. I'll use an example here, like these here, I'll show you this. So this is like something you can't get these. They sell out from every blogger. You know, I ordered 15 ahead of time. And so now like every time an employee comes, they get welcomed with one of those. That's just like a silly thing, but it is pretty systemized. Now there is custom portions to it, right? Like if it's someone that really matters, there are portions, but the last thing you want, just like you said, prepared for a meeting, you don't want to have kids go to an event and then they're the ones that don't have the birthday gift. Again, it just doesn't feel very planned. And so we've tried to do that in our house too. I do think our spouses are probably like, what's going on? Like, why is this all planned out? But I'm like, have you ever been to a dinner party where you're not prepared? You didn't have what you
don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. So even our associates, like our couple friends and my friends outside of work will be like, you know, how far in advance did you plan this one? I'm like, doesn't matter. We're here today and we're happy to be together.
It's planned. It might've been 10 minutes ago or 10 days ago, but it's planned.
There's a system for sure. Yes, we're going to a very big wedding of my niece this weekend or next weekend. And I should send you a picture. Like there's all the outfits lined up, color coded, ready to go. Everybody knows. No one's going to ask me, what are we packing? It's very clear. We're all good to go. So yes,
I do think. Are you all in the wedding or this is just packing for a trip?
We're all in the wedding.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's even added pressure, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's like certain colors and matching and the girls are flower girls and there's multiple events when we go. It's a destination wedding. So there's multiple and it's just for a weekend. So it's like one of those as soon as we leave Friday night for work. But I, yes. So everything's planned out. And my husband's the chillest, most supportive. Like when we met your husband, like they're all about the experience. And I said, this is the preparation that people like Joanne and I have to do to love the experience.
Yeah.
That's our part of the experiences. And we'll love it when we get there. But if we're not planned.
Yeah. So when are you doing all of the shopping and all of the buying and all the packing? Is that what happens at midnight?
Yeah.
We love our online shopping.
And I have like three computers at once. So I have work if there's work. And then I have my personal to do that. Yes. A lot of online shop that has changed our worlds and COVID helped because it made it even more efficient. And then I usually, if I need something, then there's like a third one that, if we want to, when we get into like shows and all that topic, I do have like a list of top shows, top books, top everything. And then that's on the third screen. So I'm probably breaking all the rules of not having computers before bedtime, that kind of stuff, but it's highly efficient.
Exactly. So where your kids are all, what age groups, like four to.
Yeah. So five to 15.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody's in a little different spot with technology themselves. Are there rules at home?
Yes, we actually, we just met on this actually on, we have kind of a family meetings on Sundays and we say, okay, here's how we're going to do this. And yes. So like check in phones, phones turn off at a certain period of time, especially with the teenagers, it's just a new world for them. And so the one we're trying to work through is, you know, phones in rooms. Phones in your bedroom. They don't have work. They don't have like their school computers or those things, but we're just trying to create a safe environment. Cause the best advice someone told me about that is they're young and they're learning and we're handing them something pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And so we have to help them gain skills.
Yeah. That's what so both of our daughters have, or both my daughters have young ones now themselves. And I said that to them, I'm like, I can help you or give you any advice, anything you want. I don't know how to raise babies, even babies, our little 9-month-old. If you put a toy out, he'll look at it and maybe play with it. If you put the phone, he will like run to it. He already knows that that's the thing I want. So I was like, I don't know how to help you raise. We're kind of all just figuring this out as we go. Cause I don't know how to raise. Cause I know that school was on there. That's how they communicate with their friends. I know it's all there and it's not all this bad, scary place, but how do you differentiate? It's a very fine line between I need this for my job or my homework and bad, scary place. Or but just simply, not that it's even a bad place, it's just go outside and do something else, please.
Mind consuming, that's right. I think the sign behind you and what you're trying to do here is perfect, the human connection. There are times and places where we have to be on our machines. We have to accomplish our work. Yeah. And then just being very delineated about it. So the mm-hmm. one we were talking about this Sunday was, I'm really bad at being home for dinner. It's just, I've been married 18 years. I don't know if I've ever made it. And so I said, you know, maybe we change that goalpost because mom's going to fail on that goalpost every time. Maybe we make the goalpost that I'm in time for reading time, like homework and that stuff. I feel strongly about. So maybe like stop making it so I fail every day. Like maybe let's say she's going to be home for this. And when she's home for this, then we're going to get her for those 2 hours. And so that's really how I do it. Like 8 to 10, I try to help. And then they go to bed and then I get back on and do everything that we need to do. And it works for us. The other part is it doesn't work. We talked about this in a session you and I had. It doesn't work for everyone every way. I'm not sure there's a right way. And the whole statement of like, you can have it all. I'm not sure if that's true too, but you can figure out a way to make it work. Yep. And I have people ask me all the time, like, how are you doing this? How are you flying all over the country? How are you? I never know where you are. We've figured out a system that works for us.
That's right. That's right.
We take a selfie at the airport every time and we'll have a book of those. I love the travel and I love multi-offices and all the experience, but you have to have the village and the system in place or else.
And look what your kids get to watch you do. You love what you do, right? You love what I do. And it's not a begrudging, I've got to go to work. Oh, it's look what I get to do today or look where I was. Now again, sometimes there's always going to be those moments, but we're all that way. Doesn't matter what part of the country you're in, you're always going to be in trouble with one kid for something.
And I do think it's important for them to see that you can find joy in what you're doing and that find something that makes you excited about what you do. And it might not be the same for everyone, but I do love what I do. And I actually think it makes me a better mom. Because I'm super happy in my experiences. And so then they feel that happiness, that same feeling.
So your two older ones, do they have any, like, what are their thoughts and what are their ambitions? Do they think about that?
They're probably a little too driven. I'm like, okay, maybe let's like dial it down. I was never like striving for collegiate sports. Like let's dial this down a little bit because that might not happen. But yes, I have a son who, is very connected and very human oriented. Like he very personal that way. And then I have a daughter who's, I would say like she could work here. Like she's a machine and she's, how do you say a nice version of bossy? Like,
in charge,
very confident. helpful being in charge. Yes, confident, she did. Yeah. She did that, gain that skill. And I told her a story of when my parents told me, I had a parent teacher conference in second grade, and the teacher said, you know, I don't know if this is a skill, but Anne can tell you every single thing about every person in the class, who has a messy desk, who doesn't, who is going on vacation with their family. Like, she just has her finger on the pulse of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I remember that's second grade, and they came home and they said, you know, you might be someone that connects dots. Like, you might be someone that can manage quite a bit at the same time because you're watching around you.
Oh, so what?
That's also the same year. I got told that a little less talk and a little more work.
Surely not. Surely not. What a great observation by that teacher. Instead of just saying this is a negative, like she's always in people's business or whatever, she looked at that and was like, "Whoa, that's a skill." My daughter, her 3-year-old, is very much like that. We call it logistics. Like, she always has to know everything about the logistics. She's 3. Who's going? Who's riding with who? What are we wearing? What do we do? Who's going to be there? Whose car am I riding in this? What's the weather? I mean, she has to know all of that before we go anywhere. So it drives us nuts. But I'm like, that's a very, very like logistical, analytical. Yep. She's processing things already that a normal 3-year-old just gets in the car and wants to know, you know, where the snacks are. She's thinking, drives us all crazy sometimes with her questions, but she's thinking ahead and planning. And so she could be the next Ann Wood. Look at that.
I would say that would be a description I absolutely would have agreed with. Yeah. Like, why are we not there yet? And what are we doing? And who's going?
Yeah.
And I was telling one of our colleagues, executives in Dallas, like, I made seating charts in college for like who's going in which car. Why would you do? I was a student body officer there at my school. Why would anyone care? Well, it was because like it was very strategic. Like, this person knows this person, and this one's going to make them comfortable. And it ended up that I ran for office and was vice president of the school I went to. And you use that skill. Like, that's party planning now. That's event planning. Very thoughtful about table placement and who knows who. And you can leverage a lot of these skills.
We won't tell any behind the scenes secrets here today, but it's funny thinking about that is your way of approaching everything. And then I know Brian well enough, like the Monday Morning Podcast or anything you probably, the both of you work on together. I mean, you talk about complete opposites. Brian wants to show up, right? And he's ready.
Well, and he's so funny about it too, because we've actually really complimented that way, because I'll have, some formality to some things. That's all I'll say about that. And he'll be like, perfect. You have a plan. And now I'm going to go do what I need to do. But he can do what he needs to do because we had the plan. Right. Complete, if we didn't have the plan. There was one of our original co-founders, Tom, she said, I gave him like a document for something. And he's like, do you not know me by now? And I was like, do you not know me? Like, I'm going to have to. And he says, hashtag winging it for everything. Like, hashtag winging it. I'm like, hashtag planning it, man. Like,
that's like your worst nightmare, winging it. But again, it complements both sides. He can be him because he knows he's got the faith in you. You can have the faith that regardless of how many things you plan, he's going to walk in and be prepared.
And correct. And I think that came from like press secretary days when you plan a speech, or you plan the annual partner event that you went to this last November. We have a plan. We have a production schedule. We have a very formal structure. But when Brian asks, hey, is it break time? And I'm like, well, according to the schedule, it's not. Yeah. But according to your schedule, which you're in charge, it is. Yeah. So
we'll
that
make
does
it
allow
work.
Us to be flexible. Exactly. Yeah. We'll it's been a great, even better than I even expected in terms of how we've all grown together and what Integrity is doing is pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. It's been amazing to watch from my even outside view, but still feeling a part of, you know, so much of it, but still an outsider looking in at just what's been happening in Dallas and the growth, and watching all of the amazing partners come on, but all of the amazing people that are there to welcome us. And it's been such a joy. So two questions that I want to get to. One, you travel a ton for work.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you like about that? And then where do you love to travel with your family? Or if you could just plan your perfect getaway, where would that be?
That's such a good question. Okay. So yes, we do love to travel, and I do travel a lot for work. And I love that part. I love being in person. I think being in person is so different than this. It feels like it's in person. So we feel like it's today. But I do love that. And so that part is very systematic too, like very, you know exactly where you're going to go. I love that we have like dedicated hotels that we know can be connected to the business. All that's so great. So, and then from a personal perspective, so again, our husbands, our spouses, our partners, love to travel, and he plans all of that. So that's where I do the, I go along for the ride. Like you, I do this for a job. Like this is my career. I love planning all this. And then at home, he's in charge, and he's very, very good at pushing the envelope more, you know, places where you have to like get out and do things, which he's super good at. So our, dream vacation. What I would say is I have a very exciting mother-in-law who her gifts are trips.
Oh,
so she already did. She planned our, and we got to go to Bora Bora and did an incredible experience with her.
Oh, that's a great, wow. I've been trying to think of more things like that to give my kids as now they're adults and do more experience type things versus here's a sweater.
That's how she does it. Yep. Yeah. Every holiday, that's the gift for that year is something cool like that. And so we did that. And then my family, my parents hadn't been to Europe as much. And so we took my mom to Italy, and that was amazing. So I would say we're up for anything. It could be, you know, a staycation.
Yeah. Down. I think for your family, that would probably be very fun.
Yeah.
Like put everything away and pretend, you know, eat out and just pretend like you're on a vacation and just kind of be. Tell everybody else you're going to Bora Bora and then just stay home. We've actually done that before too. We've kind of put like, we're away on vacation to not everybody, the key people knew where we were at, and then just chilled.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a fun thing.
Chill. Yeah, for sure.
And our family, my husband's a very outdoors person. I grew up outside New York City. I would live there if it was up to me. I would love to be in a high rise, and I could totally do that life. And I have siblings actually doing that now. And, but there's something also about the outdoors. And so I'm based here in Salt Lake City, Utah, and you can look outside and see mountains in there 5 minutes away. And
so there's our kids every day, right?
Yep. And our kids ski right away. And I got asked last weekend, how often do I ski? I'm like, I do once a year. And they were like, but you live right here. I'm like, I know, but that's my thing. Once a year I'll go and experience it with them, but it's fun. It's really awesome.
I like the ski lodge experience. That's my favorite part.
I'm like, oh, you guys are cold. Okay. Let's go.
It's wonderful here by the fire with my hot chocolate.
Yeah.
So and a good hug. And it sounds perfect.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, listen, Anna, literally we could go on and on and on and all day. I think this is one we definitely need a part two, because there's so many other things that I would love to dig deeper into. There's so many things that you brought up today that got my mind going, like 10 more questions than I know our listeners will too. But I couldn't appreciate you more for all that you do within Integrity, within our leadership group, and for everybody out there and all the young girls and boys watching. It's just been an amazing ride, and could not be more happy to be connected to you as my vision came true.
I'm happy to be on the receiving end of that. I'm glad you had that vision so I could be a part of it. But I do feel like the connections right away have been amazing, and so grateful to get to know each other. I love that you're doing this. I'm so glad we get to do it together.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you too, Joanne.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you.